Little friend, I'm glad you stopped by today. It's drawing close. Christmas is. We need to get ready. We need to get our hearts and minds ready. This is the Advent season, the coming of the King. We look at His first coming and His return. The coming of the King is so important to get our hearts and minds wrapped around. And I want to continue on this sermon series called The Faces of Christmas. And today we're going to look at the face of courage. I want to ask you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And as you do that, I want you to pray with me. Father, we come before You. We stand before You in awe and wonder. You are an awesome God. Thank You for watching over us, keeping us, protecting us, loving us, forgiving us. Your mercies are new every morning. And I thank You for the mercy that I collected this morning that was given to me by You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Holy Spirit, speak to us through this precious word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Matthew chapter 1. Let me come to it just a little bit. Let me ask you a question. What picture comes to mind when you think of the word courage? See, I think there are a lot of people out there that think for a person to be courageous, they need to be fearless or do dangerous things, or perhaps that those with great courage need to be uncaring so that they can do whatever it takes to accomplish their purpose. Well, in this message, we want to find out if that's true. And to do that, we're going to look at the face of courage. As we continue this series, The Faces of Christmas, and see what it truly means to be courageous and learn how we might be courageous during this Christmas season. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at Joseph. And Joseph, in my eyes, is a very interesting person to look at amongst all the people who were at the very first Christmas. I mean, if we were to do a play of the Nativity using the Bible as the script, Joseph is the only one without any lines. Did you understand that? He says absolutely nothing. But even though he has no words, there is so much that we can learn from him. Please turn with me to Matthew 1, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 25. We're going to read the account of Joseph learning about Mary's pregnancy and the angel talking to him and Joseph's response and see what it means to be a person of courage. Listen to this. It says, "Now, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quickly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary. For the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet, 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and he'll be called Emmanuel,' meaning God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." Okay, so as we look at Joseph here, nothing he does looks all that courageous. I mean, come on, all he does is get married. How courageous is that? Now, I know some might argue that getting married can take an incredible amount of courage, but that's another whole sermon series for another day. But what really is so courageous? Well, let's consider the situation he's in for a moment. I want you to imagine with me, the woman you're engaged to become comes and tells you she's pregnant, and you know that it's not your child. Then she tells you some story about how God impregnated her, and she's still a virgin. So not only, from your point of view, is she cheating on you, now she's lying right to your face. And you think she's playing you for a fool. Your friends and family say you should probably just have her stoned, or at the very minimum, you should divorce her. Because you got to understand, engagement in that day was a binding contract. And then you go to sleep, and in your dream, an angel tells you that what Mary is saying is absolutely true, and you should go ahead and marry her. And here's where Satan puts in his overtime. See, now, while the text only tells us that Joseph was obedient to what the angel told him to do, I know that there was much more going on in Joseph's head through all of this. How can I know that? I'm a man. Some of you listening are in the same situation. And because I've faced Satan enough times where he's tried to get me to doubt what I knew I should do, and because I've counseled enough people where Satan has tried to get them to doubt what they knew they should do, and because the Bible tells us that we're not unaware of Satan's schemes. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 sometime. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do you think that Satan is sitting around letting God's plan of redemption go forward? No way. He's actively opposing those right now trying to live godly lives for the Lord. And we can be sure that he was actively seeking to thwart God's plan by trying to turn Joseph from Mary, divide them, split them, spoil them. So did Joseph need courage to do what the Lord had told him to do? You bet he did. But where did he get the courage to face that situation? And this is what we want to know. And this is what I need to know. Because I need God's courage desperately to live the life he wants me to live. Now, maybe some of you are saying, well, hey, Joseph was one of the people of God used in a mighty way. I'm just little old me, trying to make a living, trying to raise a family, trying to get my schoolwork done, trying to live out the rest of my day. I'm just an ordinary person. Listen, Joseph was just an ordinary person, just like you and me. But there are certain things that we can learn from Joseph that will help us to have the courage to live to God's glory, because living the Christian life is not for the faint of heart. It's going to be difficult. Jesus tells us that in this life, you and I will have trouble. But to take heart, because he's overcome the world. And since he's overcome it, we too, who are in a right relationship with him, can overcome it too. So the first thing I want to propose to you is that being courageous requires righteousness. What does that mean? Well, okay. We believe that Joseph was courageous. And the text tells us that he was a righteous man. It says in verse 19, Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man or a righteous man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. But how is righteousness required to be courageous is the question. I'm saying that it takes courage to live for the Lord and that it's impossible if we're not righteous. Now, the problem with that is that no one is righteous on their own. But God solves that problem for us by sending Jesus to give us his righteousness. Listen to what the Lord tells us through the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. For no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what his laws commands. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we are not obeying it. But now God has shown us a different way of being right in his sight, not by obeying the law, but by the way promised in the scriptures long ago. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. That's why we must be in a relationship with him. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, we receive his righteousness. It's then that we can be courageous to live for God, because living for God takes courage. An example, consider the apostles. The disciples went from running scared to being bold and courageous and standing up for Christ and sharing the truth of the gospel and his resurrection. Listen to what the Sanhedrin was thinking when they saw that Peter and John, after having healed a person who was crippled from birth, and they were boldly teaching these teachers about Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Their members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They had received Jesus as Savior and had received his righteousness and were able to find the courage they needed despite being ordinary men. So here's the application. You and I, we need to trust Jesus as Savior. You won't be able to find the courage that you want and need to live a godly life until you have put your trust in Jesus Christ and received the righteousness that is from God. It's then that we'll be righteous in God's sight and be able to live a righteous life. Joseph was a man who trusted in God. He was a righteous man, a just man. Because he put his trust in God, he was able to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, we need to receive God's righteousness to be righteous and walk courageously like Joseph. Let me ask you a question. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, then you need to do that. And I want you to think about that question. And if you've not received Christ, I'm going to lead you through an opportunity to do that at the end of this message. So be courageous. To be courageous, you need righteousness. But here's the second thing. Being courageous requires selflessness. Listen to what the angel tells Joseph, starting in verse 20. He says, "As he considered this, he fell asleep, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and he'll be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us." The angel tells Joseph that the child in her is from the Holy Spirit and that the child will save all people from their sins. He's basically saying, "Hey, Joe, this whole thing is much bigger than you. It's really not about you. It's about all humanity." See, courage always requires selflessness. It's selflessness that allows the soldier to run into the battlefield to save a buddy. It's selflessness that requires and allows a police officer to save somebody who's in desperate need. It's selflessness as a firefighter runs into a burning house. They're not thinking about themselves, but they're thinking about someone else. Without a selfless attitude, we selfishly think about ourselves. What's in it for me? Why should I continue in this relationship with this woman who's already pregnant? I'll get ridiculed by friends. I'll be a laughingstock. I'll be humiliated. Wait, this isn't about me. This is bigger than me. Selflessness. To act courageously requires you to be selfless. You can't be thinking about yourself. Husbands, are you being selfless? Are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church, or are you only loving her if she's being the type of wife you want her to be? What type of example are you setting for your kids, grandkids, for other people? It takes selflessness to be a courageous husband, thinking about your wife and kids, willing to protect them and provide for them. Wives, are you being selfless? Are you thinking of your husbands, or are you only thinking about what you want? Are your daughters learning from you how to think about others or just themselves? You will never be courageous if you aren't selfless. And finally, here's the third thing. Being courageous is all about obedience. Listen again in verse 24. It said, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born and Joseph named him Jesus." Here's the point. He obeyed. Obedience is a step of courage in itself. But it's as we continue to obey and do what the Lord wants us to do, he gives us more courage. Courage is something that we can continue to grow in as long as we obey what God tells us to do now. Joseph didn't think through the Lord's command. "Well, let's see, if I take her to be my wife, what are my friends and family going to think of me? Will this affect my business in any way, with people thinking there's immorality in my home?" No, instead, he just obeyed. God might be saying, "Listen, I have good things in store for you. It's going to get scary from a human standpoint, but I am here to get you through it. You're going to need courage, though, and here's how you can get it. Obey just what I told you to do. Don't waver. And when you need the courage to act, I'll be there to give you strength and courage." God has already given you the courage to take the step of obedience that's right in front of you. You may not and probably don't have all of the courage you need to finish what you may be facing, but you do have enough for one step. The next one. That's what's called walking by faith. We exercise the courage He's given us to take the step before us. We trust that He'll give us more courage to take another step later. It's steps of faith and courage that, like that which will move us forward into the abundant and full life and bring glory to God in the process. Realize that having courage doesn't mean that you won't be scared. Courage is not a lack of fear, but the strength to act in spite of fear. I want you to think for a moment about what's in front of you that you need courage to act on this Christmas season. Whatever's in front of you, I'll tell you that if you've received the Lord as your Savior, He's given you the courage to take the next step. You just need to take it. It might be scary. It might be difficult. But if you'll trust in the Lord and open yourself up to Him, you too can live courageously and experience a life of living for the Lord that will not be possible without taking courageous steps that are in front of you, one at a time. Sometime, I'd like you to sit down and listen to the Christmas hymn, O Holy Night. There's a line in that song that says, "For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn," meaning that the birth of Jesus made a new day available for everyone who will trust in Him. And as we pray, I want you to realize that there's a new morning available for you today. It is contingent on you receiving Christ as your Savior, if you haven't already done so, and you recognizing the courage He's given you and obeying desperately, even being scared. I'm going to pray that God would help you recognize that and that you would obey what He's calling you to do, or that you would receive Him as your Savior today as the only way to eternal life and the beginning of a new and glorious morn. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank and praise You for Your precious word. I thank You for opening our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to recognize that in order to be courageous, we need to be righteous. And we need to be about You. We need, Father, to be selfless, and we need to be obedient. We're not going to be able to do any of that without You, without Your power in our life. So change our life. And Father, for anybody who's listening to this message who has never said, "Yes, Jesus, I want You. I've tried it my way. I've done it my way. I've been in charge of my life. Today, I give You my life." And if you're sitting here listening to this and that's your word, just say it out loud. "Jesus, please, take over my life." And my friend, if you do that, then I'm going to say to you, Merry Christmas.